It is 12:02. We're going to reconvene, bringing us to item number 21, which is discussion for possible action, consideration of possible approval, directing the comptroller to sign the acceptance of the presented proposal from McLeod Watts for GASB 75 actuarial variations for fiscal year 23-24, not to exceed $8,600 in fiscal year 23 and $3,750 in fiscal year 24. Comptroller McCain.
Good afternoon, Jennifer McCain, Sperry County Comptroller for the record. Biannually, the county is required to prepare a valuation, if you will, concerning our employment benefit, our post-employment benefit, which is OPEB, and our which includes our county health benefits and our retiree benefits. We have contracted with McLeod Watts for several years to prepare this report. And then the following year, they supplement it. They review, make sure we have no major changes. And normally we don't. And then this report is then added into our annual audit. With working with this firm for many years, staff's recommendation is to continue with this firm for a total of $12,350 for the 2 years. As stated, fiscal year 24 will be $8,600, and fiscal year 25 is anticipated to be $3,750.
Thank you, Comptroller. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments at this time?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell.
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding item number 21? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, care to entertain a motion?
Yes. I just actually would like clarification on the pronunciation. Is it McLeod?
McLeod, I believe. Yes.
McLeod. McLeod worked.
Yeah, it does. Yes, Scottish are
right.
Famous for their creative spelling.
Right.
All right. Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve directing the comptroller to sign the acceptance of the presented proposal from McLeod Watts for GASB 75 actuarial valuations for FY23 and FY24, not to exceed $8,600 in fiscal year 23 and $3,750 in fiscal year 24.
I need to make a correction before you approve that. It's $8,600 in fiscal 24 and $3,750 in fiscal 25. Sorry, I've been working in 3 years. I got that backwards.
But all right. Then I'd like to amend my motion to reference $8,600 in fiscal year 24 and $3,750 in fiscal year 25.
I'll second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number 22, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the acceptance of the renewal from the Nevada Public Agency Insurance Pool, also known as POOL, for liability and casualty insurance, along with the deductible option not to exceed $583,000 for fiscal year 23-24. Jennifer?
Good afternoon. Jennifer McCain for the record again. I have Jared Rossi with LP Insurance and Wayne Carlson with the Pool Pact to explain to you our renewal of our liability insurance for the following fiscal year.
Thank you.
Welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning. For the record, Jared Rossi with LP Insurance, here to present your renewal coverages. And then I'll talk a little bit about the exposures as well. And I'll turn it over to Wayne to explain a little bit more about the program.
Okay.
So real quick, for Story County, current maintenance deductible is $5,000. The limit for loss on the property is $300 million, with the included sublimits that I'll list off. Accounts receivable at $5 million per loss. Arson reward, 10%, up to $25,000 per loss. Debris removal for mold and asbestos, $100,000. Earthquake, $150 million aggregate amongst all members. Flood, $150 million aggregate as well, for the exception of flood zone A, which is $25 million. Equipment breakdown for $100 million per loss, including the loss of income and extra expense. Hazardous substance coverage at a sublimit of $250,000. Spoilage coverage at a sublimit of $250,000. Data restoration at $100,000. And electrical risk improvements, $10,000. Expediting expenses, $25,000 per loss. Unintentional errors and omissions, $5 million per loss. There's a change to this coverage this year. The deductible includes 10% of the loss, including the maintenance deductible. That was an item that was changed from the previous, and that only applies to the unintentional errors and omissions. Money and securities, $500,000 per loss. Ordinance or law for a lead building, $500,000. For the liability coverages, the limit is $10 million per named insurer with an annual aggregate of $10 million. The included sublimits are additional insured for a lesser of $2 million with no annual aggregate. Weed spray property damage, $250,000 with a $250,000 aggregate. Emergency response to pollution, $1 million with a $1 million aggregate. Criminal defense fees and costs, $50,000 with a $50,000 aggregate. And defense for regulatory agency actions, $50,000 with no annual aggregate. The limit for sexual abuse sublimit is $2.5 million with an annual aggregate of $2.5 million. Your cyber risk coverage, for the privacy and security liability limits, $1 million. That is the change from last year. It was $3 million for the group. It is $1 million this year, subject to a $15 million annual aggregate amongst all pool members. For security failure and privacy event management coverage, it's $100,000. For network interruption coverage, $250,000. And proof of loss preparation, $50,000. For your environmental liability or pollution liability, your coverage is A, B, and C, third-party claims for bodily injury, property damage, or remediation expense, your first-party remediation expense, and your emergency response expense. Your deductible is $25,000. Your limit for each incident is $2 million and your annual aggregate is $10 million. For coverage D, which is your business interruption, that is a time element, so your deductible is 3 days. Your business interruption limit is 365 days, and the business interruption monetary limit is $2 million. We've provided three options for deductibles. Our expiring deductible is $5,000. Total cost of the program this year, $582,826.91. You have an optional deductible at $10,000, $556,719.17, and another optional deductible at $25,000, $503,541.97. Moving to the next page, I have looked at the claims data. We pulled the claims data from 2012 through 2022. We paired that up with the renewal options as far as premium to give us the deductible study. So that's your 10-year claims as far as your least severe, most severe, and average year paired with the premium associated with the different deductibles. And then as far as exposures, two more slides later, we have the program cost. Overall, the program is going up 21.08%. Your payroll went up 6.79%. Total insured value for property up almost 5%, 4.65%. Auto count up 3.01%. Law enforcement up 9.09%. Employee total count up 7.64%. Total number of EMTs up 5.56%. And you don't have teachers or students. I will turn it over to Wayne now to talk a little bit about the program.
We gave the highlights of the second half in the second half of the proposal of the service programs and services that that we offer. I want to show you or point to this exhibit, this graph. We are a multifaceted organization. We have both the property and liability coverage we're talking about today and work comp. And we also own our own insurance company called a captive insurance company. It's owned by the pool members. So it's a we approach. We own it as pool members. You are a pool member and an owner. And so all of this inures to your benefit because the members decided that this is the scope and the structure that we would do in the market. Now, from the risk management standpoint, we have a team of a couple of guys that focus primarily on risk management, and then others, members of staff, that also focus on it with their other responsibilities as well. we take an enterprise approach to risk management. We're looking at the total operations. So one of the services that we did for you guys, which we've done for almost all of the law enforcement agencies that are members, is we did a jail assessment. So we went in and looked at jail conditions. We had an expert come out, write a report, make recommendations. And then we did two follow-ups. Those were built in to the cost of the program. So you didn't pay anything extra for that consultant to come out and do that work. In addition, we do monthly roll call training sessions on jail and patrol operations. And there's one coming up tomorrow at 10 o'clock. That's provided by another law enforcement expert. And the reason we focus on law enforcement is when we started the pool back in 1985, we realized that one of the biggest loss leaders for counties was law enforcement. So we hired a consultant at the time to start doing training.
It's going pretty well. Thank you. I am doing a commission meeting right now. I'm a commissioner back in Nevada. I'm on Zoom. So if you and I, can I circle back your way, and were you successful in finding something?
There we go. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Austin.
All right.
Sorry about that, Wayne.
It's okay.
Go ahead.
So we started out with our first law enforcement training in 1989 with an expert that came out of Virginia, who had written the Virginia Model Manual for law enforcement, for small law enforcement agencies. He gave us that we got that information from a free source so that we could give our members an opportunity to write their jail policies to tailor it to their needs. And we built on that platform from the beginning, and we bent the curve on the law enforcement claims. And then as time went on, we've determined that really HR crosses from law enforcement agencies into all other operations, and it's a bigger potential risk. And so we built an HR team. So our Pool Pact HR unit has become one of the really primary services that members really need, especially now, because a lot of members are experiencing retirements and turnover in the HR function, as have you. So that's been a significant part of our program. Back to law enforcement, we're investing even more in law enforcement now, because in the last several years, we have had a couple of jail deaths, in custody deaths. Those are very expensive claims. And we're finding there's an adverse trend in law enforcement claims that's emerging nationally, and that drove some of the price increase for all of our members with law enforcement. And so we've doubled down on what we're doing on the law enforcement side, continuing our programs. Now, another risk management area is swimming pools. Everybody in the state, different areas, has swimming pools. We've done swimming pool assessments and training every year, and we rotate it around the membership so that every 4 years, you're getting an assessment of your facility. In the meantime, there's ongoing training available for your pool operators. Cybersecurity emerged as another significant risk, and we launched our cyber program in 2013, and we've been increasing our efforts to train the members, and it's getting harder to get coverage. And that's why you saw the limit reduction this year, is it was impossible to get the extra coverage. Why? Because our members at large did not have enough cybersecurity to satisfy the markets. So things as, and I know a lot of you are used to multi-factor authentication. Well, there's some resistance out there to deploying and using multi-factor authentication. And the phishing attacks are getting more sophisticated. And we're probably going to see even more because the advent of some of the AI tools that are coming out. So we have to be even more vigilant. So we have worked with Tony Rucci, who's a cybersecurity specialist, does training, he has a quarterly seminar, and that's coming up, I think, next week, where he does one of his quarterly seminars. We encourage you to have your IT folks dial into those and ask their questions of a cybersecurity specialist. And so it's just a matter of trying to anticipate some of the issues that are coming up from a risk standpoint and addressing it. Now, one of the other programs that has really taken off for us this year in particular, but it's been growing, and that's our e-learning program. And you're a good example of the trend in that program. So in fiscal year 2021, you had employees take 300 or sign up for 382 courses, and they took 324. So that's a good completion rate, but it's not enough people. And then in 21-22, you signed up for, or you had completions of 236 courses you signed up for. This year, this current fiscal year, you signed up for 1,511 courses and you completed 1,496, which is a 98% almost, 97% compliance or completion. That shows there's a tremendous interest in taking these courses, and you're getting tremendous value for doing that. And so all of those are built in because our members asked for it. And we kept growing the programs as we've seen success with them. The HR program alone, with the trainings that they do, those trainings have a value, if you took advantage of all of them, of $28,000 alone, just for you guys. And they're available online, they're available in person. We've trained a lot of first line supervisors, we've trained a lot of HR reps who are not in the supervisory role, but are in the HR processing role. And we have an advanced, what we call essential management skills program to further enhance manager capabilities. And I'll tell you, board members should be glad you have an HR function internally, because otherwise you'd be dealing with it. Or that's all Austin would be doing is HR, and it's complicated. I don't try to do it myself without help. You have to almost have to be a specialist in HR to get around all the issues that come up relative to employees. And believe it or not, there are some entities in our membership base that have half a dozen or more collective bargaining units, as well as general employees that are not subject to the collective bargaining. And some of them are supervisors who are in bargaining units, as well as the employees they supervise. So it's complicated. And of course, federal and state laws change. And I really have to commend our HR team, because during the pandemic, they were sending out alerts almost daily because of all the changes that were happening around the country that impacted local government functions. But they got those alerts out to you folks to let you know what's happening. So that's why it's important that we deliver on these kind of services to help reduce the risk and manage it so that we don't have things happen beyond our control. Now, the legislature just finished. Well, they might have a special session, yeah. Most likely. They couldn't quite get it done. In fact, they, as I understood the clock time, they must have covered up the clock as they finished at 12:16 in the morning. And they're supposed to end by midnight. But there's been cases about that NACO had to fight years ago about what time. Is it standard time or daylight savings time? So those issues have come up. There's a lot of bills that were in there that made changes. And you will get a report available from our HR team about the HR bills and the impact those have. And then we put a program together or a report together about the other bills that impact you. There will be some impacts from work comp. There will be some impacts from a liability standpoint. There's changes to the open meeting law, changes to the ethics law. So we'll try to get reports out to you on those things so that you can manage the new risks that have come out thanks to the legislature. And Mark Twain said it best, if you like law and you like sausage, don't watch either one being made. And we've all seen plenty of it, right, Austin? All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you for that, Wayne. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Wayne, Jared, Jennifer?
Nothing to add, thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I guess my only question is for either Jennifer or Jared, if there's a staff recommendation as far as deductible level going forward into this next year.
Well, are we going to be in charge of HR? So that's going to make a difference.
It is a staff's recommendation that we continue with the $5,000 deductible. Although the premium is a little bit higher, it's a cost containment issue. And I think in the overall end of scheme of things, the other deductibles will end up costing me more. I think Austin agrees. Jared and I have talked about it ad nauseum, and that's our recommendation.
Great. Thank you.
All right. I don't have any questions for you, but I appreciate you coming up. Is there any public comment regarding item number 22? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the renewal from the Nevada Public Agency Insurance Pool for liability and casualty insurance with a $5,000 deductible not to exceed $583,000 for fiscal year 23-24.
There's a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, gentlemen. Great to see you. Appreciate it, Jennifer. Thank you. All right, this brings us to item number 23. This is to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board, bringing us on to item number 24, which is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of modification of the collective bargaining agreement between Story County Fire Protection District, also known as the employer, and the Story County Firefighters Association Local 4227, which is the union. Good morning, Jeannie, or good afternoon, sorry.
Good afternoon. I'm Jeannie Green, Labor Relations with Story County and Story County Fire District. We are requesting approval of the contract negotiated with the Story County Firefighters Association Local 4227. The proposed contract is for a term of 3 years. The negotiation process included 6 negotiating sessions and a final review session with the union representatives. The contract that's in the agenda was provided to you in a tracking format so you can see what has been removed, added, and revised. I will provide you with a summary of the most significant revisions unless you want me to go through the contract page by page.
I don't believe so, but let me just check with Fire Commissioner Gilman. Fire Commissioner Gilman, are you okay with the concise report?
I am. Thank you.
Fire Commissioner Mitchell?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thanks.
All right. Please proceed with the shorter version.
Okay. On page 12 is a provision for a buyout of 56 hours of annual leave a year, 40 hours for fire inspectors. Employees must have a balance of 120 hours of annual leave after the buyout. This does not result in an additional cost to the district. And in fact, it reduces the liability on the books for the district. On page 13, when an employee leaves the district, they are paid pennies on the dollar for their sick leave balance or the accruals of sick leave. We have added a provision that if they are retiring through PERS, the amount is increased by 10 cents on the dollar, up to 1,333 hours for firefighters and 952 hours for inspectors. On page 28, we have revised the coverage for dependent health insurance. It was increased to 80%. Prior to this, it was 70%. On page 32, there's a provision to provide acting pay to employees that are acting in a higher capacity. For example, if a captain has to serve as a battalion chief, they receive acting pay. Previously, that pay was 10%. We have reduced it to 5%. On page 33, the maximum number of hours employees may do shift trades was also reduced. It was 648 hours, and it was reduced to 480 hours. On page 45, longevity was added. For employees that have been with the district for 5 to 10 years, they will receive $500 annually. If they're employed 10 to 15 years, it's $750 annually. 15 to 20 years, it's $1,000. And 20 plus years, it's $1,250. On page 45, there is a reopener clause for the third year of the contract. Both management and the union can each reopen one article at that time. Any changes that are proposed through this reopener will have to come back to the fire board for approval. So if there are any changes, you will be well aware of that. And finally, on page 45, the pay chart reflects a 1% pay increase the first year, a 4% increase the second year, and there is no increase the third year. But the union may choose to use that article to reopen and negotiate a higher pay on that third year. So those are the highlights. If you have any questions, both Chief Longcar and Jennifer, who is on the negotiating team, are also here to respond.
Thank you very much for that update, Jeannie. Fire Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for the Chief, Comptroller, or Jeannie?
No questions or comments.
All right. Fire Commissioner Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. I don't have any questions or comments. Is there any public comment regarding this agenda item? Not seeing any. Before I continue, Chief, did you have anything you wanted to add or good?
No, Jeremy Longcar for the record. I think it was pretty well summarized. Just one other financial point that I just want to kind of hit was also on the insurance, the $500 preload for their HSA. Okay. So those are the big financial items alone.
Wonderful. Thank you. All right. Not seeing any public comment. Fire Commissioner Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, in accordance with the recommendation by staff and the tentative agreement between Story County Fire Protection District, the employer, and the Story County Firefighters Association Local 4227, the union, I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, hereby move to approve the 2023 through 2026 collective bargaining agreement between the parties.
Second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number 25, this discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of a contract between Carson City and the Story County Fire Protection District for use of the regional fire training facility not to exceed $4,000 annually. Chief?
Yes, Jeremy Longcar again for the record. This is our annual agreement with Carson City to utilize those facilities down in Carson. It's located next to the airport. We have traditionally done daily rate. We decided we would try the annual last year. We found we just did not utilize it to the as much as we would like to. So for cost savings, I'm just proposing we just do the daily rate of $150 and not to exceed $4,000 annually. But it's pretty straightforward. Nothing has changed from last year, but we just do not anticipate the usage that we think we're going to get out of it. So the cost savings is just paying for it as we use it.
All right. Thank you, Chief. Fire Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for the Chief?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
Fire Commissioner Mitchell?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. I don't have any comments either. Is there any public comment regarding the use of this fire training facility from the public? All right, not seeing any. Fire Commissioner Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the regional fire training facility use contract between Carson City and the Story County Fire Protection District not to exceed $4,000 and authorize the fire chief to sign.
Second the motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number 26, this discussion for possible action. Discussion and possible consideration of canceling the July 4, 2023 regular meeting of the Board of Fire Commissioners due to the holiday.
Dave? This is one I'm happy to present. I'm sure you are as well, so you can enjoy your 4th of July festivities. But as you know, it is holiday, and the fire department is very committed during that day. So I'm just requesting that we cancel that meeting and only have the single one this second Tuesday, or the second normal meeting in July.
Sounds like a good deal to me. Fire Commissioner Gilman, do you have any objection or questions or comments for the chief about this?
No, I approve. Thank you.
All right, Fire Commissioner Mitchell.
It's fine with me. Thank you.
Sure you don't want to miss the parade?
You know, maybe we ride truck and have a meeting out in the field.
That'd be great this year.
I'll put out a notice of possible quorum.
All right. Is there any public comment about this, about canceling the meeting for the Fire Commission on Friday, July 4th? Not seeing any. Fire Commissioner Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve canceling the July 4th, 2023 regularly scheduled meeting of the Board of Fire Commissioners due to the holiday.
Second the motion.
Sure. All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
See you on the fire truck on the 4th. Moving on to item number 27, recess to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Bringing us to item number 28, which is discussion for possible action, possible approval of the interlocal contract between the state of Nevada and Story County for DMV services. Our clerk treasurer, Hindle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jim Hindle, clerk and treasurer for Story County. Just bringing this up as the interlocal agreement is up for renewal. A couple of quick points for your information. The first one is that instead of a two-year agreement, the DMV is offering to us a four-year agreement, and I think that makes sense from the standpoint of it doesn't put us through this more frequently. There are opportunities for us to address issues if they come up, and I've had direct conversations with the DMV, and they are very open to deal with some of our issues that we are encountering. So I think we've created a relationship with DMV for discussion of issues with our services where they're willing to help us and increase our efficiency, mitigate some of the lines and the gathering. I think today it's been a fairly light day as I've watched outside the door, but many of us probably have walked up here during the day and seen 25 or more people waiting in the lobby. That's an issue where it's getting to be one where people are actually sitting on the stairs waiting for DMV services. And so we're working to mitigate that. One of the key issues I want people to understand is that basically 75% of the people using our DMV services are from outside Story County. Hmm. We are getting a much greater number of people coming in from outside the service area that we designate, which is Story, Lyon County, primarily Silver City, Dayton. The Mark Twain area. And that is a result of the fact that Carson City and Reno are appointment only, and appointments tend to be anywhere from 45 to 60 days out. So the word has gotten around that you can come up to Story County and it's a walk-in basis. And I have agreement from DMV that we can enforce a tightening of our services to where we really prioritize to just Story County primarily and to the Lyon County people that may come up. Lyon County tends to be about a third of the total. So we are seeing an increased number there. And I have broached the issue with DMV about possibly expanding services within Lyon County. Haven't made much progress on that yet, but at least the dialogue is going. The other thing that is important to understand this is an extremely valuable service to our residents, and we want to continue it. But we also want to make sure that the county is aware that not looking to be profitable in this, but it is a loss leader for the county. The DMV compensation for their services does not pay for the human resource commitment that we have, which is essentially 85 to almost 90% of one of the staff members within the clerk and treasurer's office. But again, I want to emphasize that we recognize it is something that is of great benefit to our residents, especially with the backlog at the DMV offices. Our services are limited to very simple title transactions and renewals, but we are trying to do those as efficiently as possible. And DMV is going to help us with some ideas on how we might be able to streamline it and get more people through in less time. So at this point, I am open to questions, but I recommend that we approve the agreement as presented.
Thank you very much for that. I guess when we got rid of the playing cards, we knew we were destined for trouble. Yeah. All right. With that, Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Jim?
Jim, I support the agreement. Thank you.
Ms. Sherman Mitchell?
Jim, do you feel comfortable that the continuing to provide DMV services is not overtaxing your staff and that the balance is appropriate or that we'll be able to handle that?
In general, within the clerk treasurer's office, we do have, as we see coming up in the future, with increased election issues that are going to come our way. Staff is pretty tight now and will become tighter. We've accommodated that and look forward with that in our budget. And so that will be something as we move forward that I'll probably come back and discuss with you. But we are looking at how we mitigate that. The DMV service is effectively a full-time position Monday through Thursday. What open time does come up when there is a lull in the traffic is really a pickup, put down type of task as opposed to something that is project a much more assigned responsibility for service through the windows. But I think we can mitigate that. And again, that's one of the issues, one of the conversations I'm having with DMV, and they will be in next week to go through a little process review with us and help us with ideas on how to increase our efficiency. But they are also aware that we have capacity issues with the number of people we can have waiting in the lobby, and we have staff issues.
Great, thank you.
Right. Is there any public comment regarding this agenda item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, care to entertain a motion?
If I can add one, just one extra comment. Sorry, Mr. Chair. There was a language change that was proposed by the DA's office, by our assistant DA, Mr. Loomis, about item 11, which is on page 3, which has to do with limited liability. And the DMV has expressed interest in addressing Deputy DA Loomis's recommendation. We're going to finalize that. And it would just be to limit the county's liability along with the state's liability. So with that understanding on addressing this agreement, there may be some wording change on that item that allows us to have greater liability limitation than is currently expressed.
Thank you for that clarification, Jim. One more time, is there any public comment? All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Sure. And so to be clear with the motion, the preference there is to give the flexibility to fine-tune that item. Is that what we're looking at doing?
Please.
All right. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the proposed interlocal contract between the state of Nevada and Story County and authorize the clerk and treasurer to sign the agreement and perform DMV services as described in attachment A, the scope of work. Further, I move to authorize the clerk, treasurer, and DA's office to modify or update as needed item number 11.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thanks for all your work on
Thank
this,
you. Jim.
Good luck to you and your staff. On to item number 29, this is discussion for possible action to authorize the county manager to accept and sign a proposal from Zion Builders for the construction of a breezeway cover at the Virginia City Senior Center in the amount of $47,300. project is fully grant funded and no county funds will be used for this project. Operations Project Coordinator Mike Northern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Purpose of the project is to build, as it describes, a breezeway cover. It's going to be covering an area that's between the existing senior center and some existing exterior walk-in refrigeration units. That small area there has been subject to shedding of ice and snow off the roof of the existing building. And the employees of the senior center in and out of that back door and into these refrigerated units multiple times per day. And it's created a dangerous walking surface. The area is so small, it's very, very difficult or impossible to get any sort of power equipment in there to remove this ice, break it out, and otherwise clear that walkway. So that's the need of the project. And as it stated, the project is fully grant funded. That grant was secured by Director York of Senior Services, but it is a county-owned building, so we're here to seek authorization to move ahead on that project.
Thank you very much for that, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments regarding this agenda item?
I do not, thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I'm good, thanks.
Is there any public comment regarding this agenda item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, Commissioner Mitchell, move to authorize the county manager to accept and sign a proposal from Zion Builders for the construction of a breezeway cover at the Virginia City Senior Center in the amount of $47,300. The project is fully grant funded and no county funds will be used for the project.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
On to item number 30. This is discussion for possible action. Approval of an unbudgeted item for weather-related emergency repair to 911 radio system at Pond Peak in the amount of $15,423.68. James?
Good afternoon, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. This is for an ice damage that occurred to one of our microwave radio links at Pond Peak this winter. Considering the elevation and the amount of snow we had, I'm surprised we didn't have more issues at other mountaintop sites, but this was the only casualty on our mountaintop repeater system this year. Some ice came down and destroyed the microwave radio dish and radio. So I'm seeking authorization to make these repairs, please.
Thank you for that, James. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments regarding the amount for this repair?
No comments, thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, I'm good, thanks.
All right, is there any public comment regarding this agenda item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, care to entertain a motion?
I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the weather-related repair to the 911 radio system in the amount of $15,423.68.
Second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for that update, James.
Thank you.
On to item number 31. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval to authorize Story County to enter into an agreement with Tectonics Design Group to complete a preliminary architectural report for Fire Station 71 at the cost of $48,000. Honey?
All right, Honey Menifee, for the record, I have one correction to make on this, and I didn't catch it for the draft. It is actually $48,500 to be exact, and that attachment is included in the packet, and it specifies that exact amount in their contract. So when the motion is read, it needs to be $48,500.
Okay.
Is that?
He's fine. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is the preliminary architectural report that is a necessary requirement for the USDA application to receive the $3.75 million award for this project. And that is essentially it for the report.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments regarding item number 31?
No questions or comments, thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding item number 31 and this expenditure? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the authorization for Story County to enter into an agreement with Tectonics Design Group to complete a preliminary architectural report for Fire Station 71 at the cost of $48,500.
Second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, honey. It appears you're going to be up here for a few minutes. Item number 32, discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval for the emergency repairs to St. Mary's Arts Center to be paid for out of the building restoration fund that was awarded to St. Mary's in fiscal year 22-23. Honey.
Honey Menefee for the record. If you were able to read the staff summary, the amount has changed a slight bit, but will not go over the allotted amount. So St. Mary's was awarded $150,000 in fiscal year FY22-23 for the building restoration. This amount was approved in the FY22-23 budget. The current approved building work totals $132,939. The cost to repair the damage from the frozen pipes was $14,940.51. With the emergency repairs, the total for the building restoration is $148,367, which is still under the $150,000 award amount. So St. Mary's is seeking approval to pay for the cost of these emergency repairs out of the FY22-23 building restoration fund award. And let me clarify, in the staff summary, it says the cost to repair the damage to the frozen pipes was $14,940.51. A little bit got added to that in the difference of $488 because the estimate for the sink, the actual sink, came in that much higher than the estimate, I should say. So all those numbers, I hope I didn't confuse you. Huh? All that matters is it's still under the $150,000.
Perfect. That's it?
Yes.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments regarding this expenditure?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell.
I'm good.
Is there any public comment regarding item number 32? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve that the emergency repairs to St. Mary's Art Center be paid out of the building restoration fund that was awarded to the St. Mary's Art Center in fiscal year 2022-2023, an amount not to exceed $150,000.
Oh, total.
Second motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 33. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval to authorize Story County to enter into an agreement with Dowell for a preliminary architect report and environmental report for an approximate amount of $36,260, not to exceed $41,260, to complete the United States Department of Agriculture application requirements for the fairgrounds upgrade in Virginia City. Honey.
So again, this these reportings are necessary to complete the requirements for the USDA's application to receive our $615,000 award for the fairgrounds project. That is the end of my summary.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding item number 33? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve to authorize Story County to enter into an agreement with Dowell for a preliminary architect report and environmental report for an approximate amount of $36,260, not to exceed $41,260, to complete the United States Department of Agriculture application requirements for the fairgrounds upgrade in Virginia City.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 34. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution number 23-683, granting St. Mary's Arts Center a 501c3 nonprofit, a sum not to exceed $115,200 for the purpose of preserving St. Mary's Arts Center, a county-owned building, and supporting arts and culture through education and cultural offerings. Honey.
Honey Menifee for the record. I'm going to read the staff summary and then I have a thing to say after that. But under NRS 244.1505, a grant of money to a nonprofit organization must be made by resolution of the Board of County Commissioners, which specifies the purpose of the grant and any conditions imposed on the expenditure of the granted money. The proposed resolution meets the requirements of the statute. And according to best practice, it is in the interest of the county to not support a nonprofit more than 50% of their previous year's expenses. So that being said, St. Mary's request is a 10% decrease from last year to bring them down in increments each year to the 50% threshold. And so this amount is $12,800 less than last year. And that is the reason for the decrease.
Okay, thank you very much. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about item number 34?
No, sir, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I guess my only question is just to assure that that we feel confident that with that adjustment, I'm supportive of the good governance principle, but just want to make sure that we're comfortable that St. Mary's will not suffer undue hardship by that reduction.
So what we have in place for nonprofits that are in county-owned buildings, there is the Building Restoration Fund grant, which they have applied for and have been approved for. And that has been approved in the budget for fiscal year, FY23-24. And that amount is $233,000, which you all approved for that potential need.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bless you. Maybe.
Okay. I'm finished.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 23-683, granting St. Mary's Arts Center Incorporated, a 501c3 nonprofit, a sum not to exceed $115,200 for the purpose of preserving the St. Mary's Arts Center, a county-owned building, and supporting arts and culture through education and cultural offerings.
Second motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 35. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution number 23-684, granting the University of Nevada, Reno, Story County Extension, a 501c3 nonprofit, a sum not to exceed $30,000 for the purpose of addressing contemporary issues in the area of agriculture, horticulture, community development, health and nutrition, personal and family development, and natural resources. Honey?
Honey Menifee for the record. Under NRS 244.1505, a grant of money to a nonprofit organization must be made by resolution of the Board of County Commissioners, which specifies the purpose of the grant and any conditions imposed on the expenditure of the granted money. The proposed resolution meets the requirements of the statute. And with UNR's amount, they have a 9% increase from last year. They are going up $2,500 in request from last year's funding. And that is the end of my report.
Thank you.
If you have any questions, we can pass those along to her to get back with you. She was here and needed to leave. Lisa Taylor.
Okay. Not a problem. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about item number 35 and the money for the UNR extension?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 23-684, granting the University of Nevada, Reno, Story County Extension, a 501c3 nonprofit, a sum not to exceed $30,000 for the purpose of addressing contemporary issues in the areas of agriculture, horticulture, community development, health and nutrition, and personal and family development and natural resources.
Second motion.
All right. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 36, discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval for resolution number 23-685, granting the Community Chest, Inc., a 501c3 nonprofit, the sum of $329,175 for the specific purpose of funding health and human services and educational programs. Honey?
Honey Menefee, for the record. Under NRS 244.1505, a grant of money to a nonprofit organization must be made by resolution of the Board of County Commissioners, which specifies the purpose of the grant and any conditions imposed on the expenditure of the granted money. The proposed resolution meets the requirements of the statute. And with the Community Chest request, their funding gets broken down into three areas of service. They have health services, the library, and program services. And from last year, they have a 13.7 increase in ask, and that totals $39,675. And Eric Schoen is here if you have any questions regarding this funding.
Thank you. Laura, did you have something to add about this?
Not on this item.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about the money directed over to Community Chest?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
I don't have any questions. Community Chest has shown themselves to be a wise and efficient steward of the money, and I'm confident that any increase will go towards valuable programs for the community.
Indeed, well stated. Is there any public comment regarding item number 35 of the money for Community Chest? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 23-685, granting the Community Chest, Inc., a 501c3 nonprofit, the sum of $329,175 for the specific purpose of funding health and human services and educational programs.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for the good work, Eric. You and your team are doing a great job out there. On to item number 37. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval for resolution number 23-686, granting the Comstock Cemetery Foundation, Inc., a 501c3 nonprofit, a sum not to exceed $9,975 for the purpose of preserving the historic cemeteries of the Comstock Historic District. Honey.
Honey Menefee, for the record, I'll be handing this over to Laura Mather. I sit on the board of the Comstock Cemetery Foundation, and I didn't have a part in this review of this application or approval, so she will be taking over this.
Thank you. Thank
you, Laura Mather, for the record. Under NRS 244.1505, a grant of money to a nonprofit organization must be made by resolution of the Board of County Commissioners, which specifies the purpose of the grant and any conditions imposed on the expenditure of the grant money. The proposed resolution meets the requirements of the statute. The amount that they are requesting is a decrease of $15,025. This decrease reflects the separation of duties that were performed on behalf of Story County with those duties that are under the nonprofit 501c3.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments regarding item number 37?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No, I believe that my question was answered, and that's just that the MOU that we recently approved is what covers those duties separate Correct. From the funding going to the 501c3.
Correct.
Really good brand.
Right. Is there any public comment regarding item number 37 in the Comstock Cemetery Foundation? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution 23-686, granting the Comstock Cemetery Foundation, Inc., a 501c3 nonprofit, a sum not to exceed $9,975 for the purpose of preserving the historic cemeteries of the Comstock Historic District.
There's a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to item number 38. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval for resolution number 23-687, granting the Historic Fourth Ward School Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit, a sum not to exceed $120,000 for the purpose of preserving the Historic Fourth Ward School Museum, county-owned building, and for the purpose of preserving the Fourth Ward School Building, and for promoting the history of the Comstock and Story County. Honey.
Honey Menifee for the record. Under NRS 244.1505, a grant of money to a nonprofit organization must be made by resolution of the Board of County Commissioners, which specifies the purpose of the grant and any conditions imposed on the expenditure of the granted money. The proposed resolution meets the requirements of the statute. And the Fourth Ward School's request has remained the same from last year in the $120,000. But also they have applied for the Building Restoration Fund grant as well to cover any foreseen issues that they may expect.
Thank you for that, honey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments regarding item number 38?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions or comments?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding item number 38? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 23-687, granting the Historic Fourth Ward School Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit, a sum not to exceed $120,000 for the purpose of preserving the Historic Fourth Ward School Museum, a county-owned building, and supporting the history of the Comstock and Story County.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 39. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval for resolution number 23-688, granting the Story County Jeep Posse, a 501c3 nonprofit, a sum not to exceed $10,000 for the purpose of aiding and assisting all Story County residents with search and rescue, emergency management, youth programs, and other capacities. Honey?
Honey Menifee, for the record, under NRS 244.1505, a grant of money to a nonprofit organization must be made by resolution of the Board of County Commissioners, which specifies the purpose of the grant and any conditions imposed on the expenditure of the granted money. The proposed resolution meets the requirements of the statute, and their funding request has remained the same.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments regarding item number 39?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I'm good. Thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding item number 39? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution 23-688, granting the Story County Jeep Posse, a 501c3 nonprofit, a sum not to exceed $10,000 for the purpose of aiding and assisting all Story County residents with search and rescue, emergency management, youth programs, and other capacities.
There's a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 40. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval for resolution number 23-689, granting Liberty Engine Company number 1, Inc., a 501c3 nonprofit, a sum not to exceed $10,000 for the purpose of preserving the Comstock Firemen's Museum, a county-owned building, and its historic contents. Honey?
Honey Menifee, for the record, under NRS 244.1505, a grant of money to a nonprofit organization must be made by resolution of the Board of County Commissioners, which specifies the purpose of the grant and any conditions imposed on the expenditure of the granted money. The proposed resolution meets the requirements of the statute, and their request also remains the same.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about item number 40?
No questions. Thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell.
Good, thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding item number 40? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 23-689, granting the Liberty Engine Company number 1, Inc., 501c3 nonprofit, a sum not to exceed $10,000 for the purpose of preserving the Comstock Firemen's Museum, a county-owned building, and its historic contents.
Second.
There's a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. So there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 41. This is a discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval for resolution number 23-690. Veterans of Foreign Wars, Evans Kendall Post 8071, located in Virginia City, a 501c19 nonprofit, a sum not to exceed $10,000 for the purpose of providing services to veterans and the Story County community. Honey.
Honey Menefee for the record. Under NRS 244.1505, a grant of money to a nonprofit organization must be made by resolution of the Board of County Commissioners, which specifies the purpose of the grant and any conditions imposed on the expenditure of the granted money. The proposed resolution meets the requirements of the statute. This is a new request as of this year, and John is here if you have any questions for his organization. And that is the end of my report.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Honey or John?
Comment is I'm in support of this motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
I don't have any questions, but I'd be happy to hear if John has something you'd like to mention.
All right. I don't have any questions either. John, is there anything you'd like to say? No pressure.
Yes.
Yeah. Now or public comment, one and the same. Thank you. Make sure you state your name for the record.
Yes. For the record, I'm John Strahan, a proud member of VFW Post 8071, located here in Virginia City. I'd like to start by thanking the commission for my earlier appearance and your approval of changing the application requirement for a 501c19 to be able to apply for a 501c3 grant. On a side note, there's actually a resolution at the legislature this year to make the veteran 501c19 equivalent in the eyes of other county governments and agencies when considering grants for 501c3s. So that was something the Veterans Legislative Commission got going.
Great.
I'd also like to say thank you to Laura and Honey for their assistance in putting this together. If approved, this will increase our capacity for the community services that we provide to both veterans and residents of Story County. What a lot of people don't realize, and I'm sure the community just gets the same as well as other social service agencies, the requests that fall not within welfare, food stamps, Medicare, Medicaid, burial expenses, home repairs. We get a lot of, we call them drive-bys from the school as far as money for a student travel for a program, booster club, what do you call it, sports equipment funding and things like that. Auto repairs, temporary lodging for homeless veterans. These are all things that the VFW Post has an active role in that we don't mind doing. It is part of our charter of the VFW providing service to veterans in the community. There's not a meeting that goes by that two or three requests don't come in to the post from members of the community for just oddball services that people need, and there isn't an official channel for them to receive. And this money will expand our capacities to do that. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item?
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, okay. Mr. Thompson, I see you raising your hand loud and proud.
Thank you. Yes, sir. And thank you, Mr. Chairman, commissioners, Mr. County Manager, Mr. Deputy District Attorney. My name is Chris Thompson. I'm a proud lifetime member of the Virginia City Veterans of Foreign Wars Post. I wholeheartedly support this agenda item today for passage. And I just want to add perspective. Out of everything you vote for, there are a few items in your list today that actually save lives. And this is one of them. The VA and other post-combat services to veterans have historically fallen far short. We lose 20 veterans per day to suicide, 20 per day, which is ridiculous. And I think the organizations like this and the Veterans Center that this that this money is going to go to help, and the group that's going to be using this will save lives. The best way for veterans to save lives is for veterans to help other veterans. And that's why veterans flock to VFW posts and American Legion's posts and unit reunions. We help each other, and we help each other stay alive. I hope that this item becomes a recurring charitable organization grant from the county. And I thank you for your consideration today. And also, I thank John Strahan for all his hard work. I thank Laura and Honey for all their hard work on helping us get this through. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for your comments, Chris, and thank you for your service. Is there any other public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And if you permit me, just one comment before I do.
Please.
You know, I think this is a great place to start. And John, you've heard our guideline as a maximum is we figure good governance is about a 50%. And so going forward, if there is opportunities to provide even more services, I'd say don't hesitate to ask for more as those opportunities apply. You know, I see on a regular basis how hard the members of your post work to fundraise, and I think the valuable services to the community. And so no hesitation to look at increasing that amount if it can be used in the community.
Great.
With that, I'll make the motion. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 23-690, granting the Veterans of Foreign Wars Evans Kendall Post 8071, located in Virginia City, a 501c19 nonprofit, a sum not to exceed $10,000 for the purpose of providing services to veterans and the Story County community.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 42. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration. Where are you going, honey? You got one more.
I think it's.
Or it says, honey. Anyway.
It's Boston.
Consideration and possible approval of the expenditure not to exceed $14,400 to the Nevada Division of Water Resources for the assessed value of taxable property situated within the confines of the groundwater basin located in Story County for fiscal year 2023-24 pursuant to NRS 534.040. That may have been my mistake. Sorry. County Manager Osborne.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record. Each year, the Division of Water Resources sends us an invoice for the amount of money that essentially for the assessed valuation of groundwater within the basins in Story County. This is the amount that would be subject to providing to the state. I've worked with the assessor's office, and we believe at this time that it would be impractical to provide or to impose a nominal tax assessment on every single property in Story County. It could be in the cents, and it would be more efficient and economically viable just to do it out of the fund as proposed here.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about item number 42?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell.
I don't either. I think we had some discussion about this the last time it came around, and I feel confident this is the right approach to covering this expense.
Indeed. Is there any public comment regarding item number 42? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve expenditure not to exceed $14,400 to the Nevada Division of Water Resources for the assessed value of taxable property situated within the confines of the groundwater basins located in Story County for fiscal year 2023-2024 pursuant to NRS 534.040.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Before we continue on to item number 43, I just want to note that the request has been made to take a 10-minute recess after this item. So for those that are getting ready for item number 44, hold off a few more minutes. On to item number 43, discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of approximately 5-year lease between the Story County and the Nevada State Department of Public Safety also known as the Nevada Highway Patrol, for use of existing office space of approximately 400 square feet and future sheriff's office substation area as provided for by the sheriff for an amount of $0, but with certain cost reimbursements, located at the Story County Government Complex at 1705 Peru Drive, McCarran, Story County, Nevada. County Manager Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. For at least the 5 years, we have leased to the Nevada Highway Patrol Division of Public Safety office space out of Station 75 out of Tri-Center. We believe that it benefits the county, the building itself, and the industrial park just by having the presence of law enforcement in the area. It benefits the Nevada Highway Patrol for obvious logistical reasons and staging and better enforcement of traffic and other issues out at Tri-Center and along the I-80 corridor. In this case, that lease is up for renewal. We made some adjustments for it, and there's short-term adjustments regarding office space and where and what. And then Sheriff Cullen has been very great working with the NHP on merging them in with this alternate substation out at 75. And this agreement accounts for that migration over to that facility on a permanent basis and a continuation of its current office spaces currently. There's no cost associated with here except for reimbursements for janitorial, as well as any internet and things like that that the state may impose or cause to occur in that area.
All right. Thank you, County Manager. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about item number 43?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
Does this renewal include any sort of perks to sweeten the pot to maybe make the Highway Patrol really want to enforce in this area a little more? I don't know, some coffee and donuts, massage chairs, whatever it is that might make them want to really, really use these facilities.
I do think they enjoy using the facilities. It is, logistically appropriate. They are severely understaffed, as we're aware. So there's some enforcement that they're trying to do. I know Laura Mathers create quite a comfy area out there right next to them. So maybe there is some ability to provide
hospitality. Very good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I already checked Mr. Gilman, Mr. Mitchell. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain the motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve an approximately 5-year lease between Story County and the Nevada State Department of Public Safety, Nevada Highway Patrol, for use of existing office space of approximately 400 square feet and future sheriff's office substation area as provided for by the sheriff for an amount of $0, but with certain cost reimbursements, located at the Story County Government Complex at 1705 Peru Drive, McCarran, Story County, Nevada.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. As promised, quick 10-minute recess. We'll be back in just a few.